is the Word of God, to believe what the Word of God says. Okay? And faith is the opposite of fear. Okay? And again, how does faith come? By hearing the Word. It's a biblical principle that goes all the way back to the very beginning. Hallelujah. And we can't, if we're going to do anything for Messiah, if we are going to walk in the power and His anointing and see people. You know, we were talking on the radio. I was talking with, you know, Bishop Dominique. We interviewed her on the radio program. And I said, you know, we've got all this head knowledge now. Okay, there's a lot of great teachers out about Torah. But what are we doing? Are people getting saved? Are people getting delivered? Are we preaching the Besorah, the good news of Messiah to people? Or are we just, you know, too busy? Well, with all this head knowledge, and we're not seeing lives changed. You know what? And I want to see, I don't know about you, but I want to see people's lives changed. I want to see people healed. I want to see people set free from the you know, demonic forces that are holding them in bondage. You know, not just physical healing. How about healing of the heart? How about wounds in the heart that are buried, that people are walking around with deep wounds within him? God wants to heal that. He wants to heal. Hey, I tell you, I've been set free from a lot of wounds and healed, especially this past weekend. I tell you one thing, I'm not going to be the same again. And this is one teacher, rabbi, that is not going to compromise on the Word of God. You know, it says we are to walk in the footsteps of Messiah. He said, greater works would we do. What are those works? What did he do? He prayed for people. He brought people into the knowledge of God, restoring relationships. He preached repentance. John the Baptist, Yeshua, all the apostles, repent, turn away, and come back to my ways, to my Torah. His Torah is his teachings and instructions. And what is it about? How to live a holy life in this earth. A holy life and a blessed life. If you read, there are many, again, we like, you know, the people that are against the Torah, they have no problem quoting Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 10. You know, I'm blessed, you know, I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. I know there's songs about it, you know. You know, everything my hand says to do prospers, hallelujah. Well, that's the Torah. I thought you said we weren't supposed to, you know, do the Torah anymore. Well, that's okay. We know, we like the blessings. We'll take the blessings. Well, did you read the first verse of Deuteronomy 28? If you shall diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, then these blessings will come upon you. Blessings come by obedience. Hallelujah. Yeshua has given us a commission. He didn't bring us back to the Torah just so we can get a religious spirit. He brought us back to the Torah so we'd be a set apart, holy people who will go out there and do what Yeshua did. Preach the good news, preach repentance, lay hands on the sick and see them recover. That should be the norm for a believer. Why isn't it? Do we see that? No. Why? Because we compromised on the Word. We've talked, we said, well, healing's not for today. That's not what my Bible says. The Torah's been done away with. That's not what my Bible says. What are we believing? This is our safety net right here. Okay, there's a lot of bad, there's, you know, some bad teachings out there. There's even, again, if you don't know the Word, when you hear something that's contrary to the Word or is heresy, how are you going to know it's heresy if you don't know what the Word says? Because there's people out there that can be very convincing. There's a teaching out there, even in Messianic circles, that nobody knows they're saved. Nobody's going to know they're saved until the judgment scene. Then Yeshua is going to decide if he wants to spend eternity with you, depending on how much Torah or fruit that you have in your life. Sounds really spiritual, doesn't it? It's totally contrary to the Word. Yes, we are supposed to produce fruit. Yes, we are supposed to walk in obedience. Okay, but it doesn't. That doesn't save you. Otherwise, why did Yeshua come? Even in the Tanakh, the Torah, they were always saved by faith. But, you know, when they laid their hands on those sacrifices and their sins. They even had to slay the sacrifice themselves, saying, you know, this animal is dying in my place, and confessing their sins. And they had to do it by faith and with a pure heart of repentance. Then it was an acceptable sacrifice to God. But it was always by faith, knowing that, again, a picture. Yeshua took our sins and our sicknesses upon him. And by his stripes, our sins were laid upon him. And he took it upon us. And so again, by his grace, we are saved. Yes, salvation is a process. We have hopefully, you know, that we have grown from the first time we've accepted Messiah, that we're still not, you know, the same, that we are continue to grow from glory to glory. And I guarantee if you love Messiah, you're going to want to do what pleases him. You know, to me, anybody who can reject Messiah never really knew him. You know, you never really knew him then, because to know him, there's no way anybody can convince you that he is not the Messiah and that he hasn't changed your life. You can't convince me, because you know what? He changed my life. When I cried out to him, he changed my life. When I asked him for healing, he healed me. He's healed me of gallbladder problems, where right away the doctor wants to say, you know, we need to take your gallbladder out. I go, well, let's think about this for a minute. And I just started praying, you know. It's just like, you know, Father, your word is true. And sometimes he'll lead you to diet, change in your diet. Again, all healing is, you know, it's still from him. You know, so again, it was changing a diet and just believing him and the gallbladder problems. I used to have really bad bursitis in my hands. From being a hairdresser, because my hand was constantly in water. And pain, excruciating pain, you know. And I just was praying, thank you, Father. And all of a sudden, you know, one day it was like, it's gone. The pain in my hand is gone. Hallelujah, you know, because I just gave it to him. And he's the healer, hallelujah. He's the healer of the brokenhearted. You know, how many times, again, he's the healer of, you know, of our mind, depression, you know, anything that's keeping you down. And we're going to look at these scriptures and look at, again, you know, people say, well, that was only for when Yeshua walked, you know, so though people will know he's the Messiah. Don't people need to know today that he's the Messiah? Don't people need to know today to see the power of God, that he is real, that he is at work? Believe me, HaSatan is out there showing his power, and people are getting deceived left and right. Why? Because we're not going out there, because we don't believe that God is able to do what he said. That's the only thing that keeps us from doing it. Is unbelief. Hallelujah. Bishop Dominique was telling me in Israel that there was a family from, where were they from? Norway?
Netherlands?
Yeah, Netherlands, which, you know, Netherlands is a very worldly place now. But they went to, through her Bible school, and they went to Israel to minister to, you know, to the people in Israel. And she says, all they did, they go into a mall, and they say, can we pray for you? And they say, well, okay. And she said, very gently, they would just lay hands, and some of them were soldiers, in the name of Yeshua, be healed, very gently. And all of a sudden, the soldiers are like, receiving healing. They were like, wow. You know, those are, again, signs and wonders following. Hallelujah. Just that gentleness of just let me pray for you. And they just kept on praying for people, and they were being healed. What a witness. Hallelujah. We need to get that boldness back, okay? We're bold for the Torah, but we need to be bold for the Torah and Yeshua. That's what says the end time saints are. They had the Torah of God, but they also had Messiah Yeshua. Let's go to Matthew 12, beginning with, back up to verse 9. 12 verse 9. Even from there he went into their synagogue. A man with a withered hand was there, and so they might accuse him. They questioned Yeshua, saying, is it permitted to heal on Shabbat? And he said to them, what man among you will not grab his sheep and lift it out if it falls into a pit on Shabbat? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is permitted to do good on Shabbat. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand, and he stretched it out, and it was restored, as healthy as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Now again, too, I had taught on this before when I taught it was a certain group of Pharisees. You know, a lot of times we lump the Pharisees all in one lump. But if you know anything about, again, the background of the time Yeshua, there is many different sects of priests. You know, there was the zealots who would just as soon, you know, kill you if you were, you know, in cahoots with the Romans. There was the Sadducees who didn't believe in the resurrection, didn't believe in the angels, didn't believe in the supernatural. There was, you know, the Pharisees. There was the Essenes. There was, you know, very separate, you know, different groups. You know, but the word says that, again, you have to know the background. In Acts, it says that many of the priests became believers in Yeshua and followed him. You know, and unfortunately, when people quote this, they just see, yeah, all those Pharisees. Well, no, it was a certain group of Pharisees that were following around trying to accuse him, okay? So they said, you can't heal on the, you know, you can't heal on the Shabbat. And he says, yes, you can, because it's lawful to do good on the Shabbat. Verse 15, knowing this, Yeshua went away from there, and a large crowd followed him, and he healed them all. Highlight that, underline that. He healed them all. And he sternly warned them not to make known. So he wasn't doing it to make a name for himself. He was doing it because the compassion of God, because healing is in the covenant. Healing goes all the way back to the covenants of Abraham and the Torah. And I'm going to show you the scriptures, okay? This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, here is my servant whom I chose, the one I love, in whom my soul takes delight. I will put my ruach upon him, spirit, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A crushed reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, until he brings forth justice to victory, and in his name the nations shall hope. Verse 22, then a demon-plagued man who was blind and mute was brought to Yeshua, and he healed them, so he spoke and saw. All the crowds were astounded in saying, this can't be Ben David, can it? But hearing this, the Pharisees said, this fellow drives out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons. Knowing their thoughts, Yeshua said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is destroyed, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons drive them out? Why? Because the rabbis practiced exorcism. They said, why? Because they knew it wasn't God's will for their people to be bound up. But they didn't have the full authority that Yeshua had. But if I drive demons out by the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Yahweh, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can you enter a strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he will thoroughly plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. For this reason I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will forgive men, but blasphemy against the Ruach will not be forgiven. Again, a very dangerous thing to say that when, you know, healing and the gifts of tongues and the gifts of the Spirit are of Satan. You better be very careful, because as God may, you know, forgive you in your ignorance, but you better, believe me, you better repent and go back to the Word. And that's exactly what this article that this person said. Oh, if you're speaking in tongues, you're blaspheming God. I mean, they were totally and says, you better get back to your Word. And I'll do, you know, I can do a whole teaching on that just to prove otherwise. You know, we want to put God in our own little box. You know, God, you got to fit into my theology. And don't you dare get out of that box. You know, he is Yahweh. He created us from the dust of the earth. He took woman out of man with a rib and created a helpmeet. He was a pillar of fire by night. He was a pillar of cloud, which is a type of the Ruach HaKodesh, by fire. He showed himself mighty, miraculous ways. He could cause an axe head to float. Who are we to say that, you know, that we aren't to walk in his power? Those power gifts were in the Tanakh as well. But the thing is, it only came upon certain people. But now as believers, it's for every believer to walk in that power, that authority, that anointing for miracles, and to see people, you know, God move in people's lives, and the enemy doesn't want you to know that. Why? Because he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And ignorance, is one thing that tyrants do to keep people under control? They keep them ignorant. They keep them illiterate. So they can control them and make them believe what they want to believe. And that's what HaSatan wants to do. He wants to keep us illiterate so he can control us. But you know what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Don't tell me that when I'm speaking in tongues, I'm blaspheming God. Because when I called upon the name of Yeshua. He saved me. He changed me. I asked him to fill me with my spirit, his Holy Spirit, his Ruach. Yeshua says, if you ask, you know, if your earthly father knows how to do good things for you, I'm paraphrasing, but how much more will your heavenly father give you the Ruach? If you ask, if your son asks you for bread, are you going to give him a snake? Basically, that's what kind of teaching is out there. Yeah, you ask the God for the spirit, but you don't know what you're going to get. Excuse me, yes, I do, because I know who my God is. I know Yeshua, and he's not going to put anything in my life that is not pure and holy when it's in his word. Again, that's ignorance of the word. That's fear. You know, and people, again, they'll feed their fear. Okay, I got to find somebody to agree with me because, you know, and hey, you can find anybody you want to agree with you. But you better be sure, you better make sure your agreement's on the word. Because it's a very dangerous thing to be, you know, accusing the Spirit of God to be ha-Satan. Again, Yeshua said that you can say whatever you want about me, but you better not speak against the Ruach of Yahweh. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Ruach HaKodesh, the holy, set-apart spirit, which is the spirit of Yahweh, will not be forgiven, neither in this age nor in the one to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree rotten and its fruit rotten, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? How many know that when Yeshua didn't sweet talk sometimes? You know, when he had to rebuke somebody, he rebuked them. You know, that wasn't exactly a very nice thing. You brought a viper? How can you who are evil say anything good? From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man from his mouth, the good man from his good treasury brings forth good, and the evil man from his evil treasury brings forth evil. But I tell you that on the day of judgment, men will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. If you come upon a teaching and you don't understand it, where are you supposed to go? Well, let me Google it on the internet. Let me see. I know. Like that commercial. Ever see that Allstate commercial? The guys, you know, do it. You know, putting his accident report on the internet, and you know, she goes, "Well, you can't do that." He goes, "Well, how do you know?" "Because I found it on the internet." He goes. Well, and then he looked at her. She goes, "Well, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true." So here comes this guy, this really, you know, weird-looking guy. He goes, "Oh, I met a French model on the internet." Here comes this guy. He's just like, "Bonjour." That's how. Again, are we supposed to be that gullible? I hope not. Guess what? Just because it's on the internet does not make it so. Or you may end up with something that you didn't expect. Hallelujah. Bonjour. That, you know, I mean, I love that commercial. It's just like, because, you know, people believe that.
Everything that's on the internet is true.
It's true, yeah. Right. It's got to be true. It's on the internet. That. You know.
And he says, "Where did you get that?"
And don't we do that sometimes today? We try to prove our theology by finding somebody on the internet that will agree with us instead of going to the Word. If I hear a teaching and I'm not sure about it, I go to the Word first and I start digging and say, okay, is this what your Word says? And if it's in the Word, again, in context, because you can make the Word say anything you want by taking scriptures out of context.
Right.
That's what the cults do. You know, they'll use a scripture and then before you know it, they're bringing you into their own teaching. Okay. We need to make a choice. Are we going to believe the word or are we going to believe, you know, somebody speaking against the word? I don't care who's teaching. You need to go back to the word. That's why we give you the scriptures. Again, healing is part of our covenant. You know, and I believe, yeah, there's some people that don't get healed. You know what? That's between them and God. That's still not going to change my mind that healing, you know, we've seen too much healing in our life. We've seen healing. You've got a testimony of healing. You know, I'm sure everybody has a testimony, not just a physical healing. The biggest healing we received, what, is when we were born again. Hallelujah. He changed our life. That's why, you know, when they said, well, nobody knows they're going to be saved. Excuse me. Over 35 years ago, when I called on his name, he changed me, and I knew I was changed. And I knew it was Yeshua who changed me. So don't tell me I can't know. What, you know, what is that doing? That's putting fear in people's lives. Well, I got to do enough works. I got to do, you know, that's a rabbinical Orthodox Jewish teaching. That, okay, if I do enough mitzvot, I'll be acceptable to God. Okay? And what's it doing? It's creating fear in people. Oh no, I don't know if I'm going to be saved. And so I got to do enough works. You know, they got it backwards. You know, what did James say? Again, it's faith with works. Works will naturally follow you as a believer, but you're not doing it to get saved. When you call out on him, he changed your life, and then your desire was to please him. Again, we do the Torah not to get saved. We do the Torah so we know how to learn how to be a holy set apart people, to be a people that are stand out like a menorah in a dark room, that our light shine brightly, that people look at us and they say, you know what? There's something different about you. I don't know, what is there? Something in you. Why? Because that light of Messiah is in you. Hallelujah. So again, healing. It said Yeshua healed them all. I'm going to start with some scriptures from the Tanakh. I got a lot of scriptures. Again, I'll photocopy them for you. Hallelujah. Exodus 15:26. It said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do what is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that makes you sick. That heals you. Hallelujah. I am the Lord that heals you. If you are walking in a way that pleases me, if you are being obedient to me, he says, I will not put any of these diseases that I put on the Egyptians, because I am the Lord that heals you. Hallelujah. Covenant promise. Exodus 23:25-26. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren. In other words, they will not miscarry, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. You know, I'm not ready to leave yet. Yes, I want to believe, be with Messiah, but I know I got a job to do. We've got a job to do, and we haven't even, I don't think, cracked the surface yet of what he wants us to do. Deuteronomy 7:15. Again, this is Torah. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay upon them all that hate thee. In other words, you're not going to get sick, but those that hate you are. Psalm 91:9-10, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. We better get these words in our heart. You know, again, people are even believers are walking in fear. Why? Because of fear of what may come upon them. You know, we gotta hide, we gotta prepare. Our safety is in the secret place of the Most High. You know, that's why we need to know his voice. Yeah, if he tells us to get up and go, then we get up and go. Okay, but we are not to walk in fear. We are to walk in faith, trusting him. You know, how many times, I bet every one of us, you don't even have a clue when the end, you know, we could have been in an accident. We could have, you know, we just missed, but God protected us and kept us safe. Psalm 103:1-5. Again, this is the word. Are we supposed to believe, well, healing isn't for you? Well, excuse me, but I believe what God says, and I'm going to hang on to what God says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, hallelujah, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Psalm 107:19-20. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. We need to take the word just like we would take medicine. Yeah, God uses doctors, but you know what? Doctors cannot heal. They treat the symptoms. All they can do is cut it out or, you know, put something back in. But they'll even tell you, we can't heal. We just, you know, treat the symptoms. Yeah, God can use doctors, but your faith better be in Elohim, God, to heal you, and not necessarily the doctor. You know, pray that God will give that doctor wisdom, you know, and but I tell you, there's many times when, you know, we'd go to the doctor, and the doctor would give us an evil report, and it's like, you know what, I'm going to believe what the Word says. Hallelujah, you know. Well, you're going to have to do, because they're operating in what they know. You know, it's science, and, you know, this is, here's a pill, take it. You know, it's just like, no, thank you, I'll take this pill. You know, I mean, if you really need it, fine, but it's like, I mean, right away, if something's wrong, they want to cut it out. You know, it's like, again, not that, you know, God uses medicine and stuff, but how much more should we need to feed ourselves with, you know, if the doctor gives you a prescription to take three times a day, you take it three times a day if you need to, right? How much more should we be taking this and saying it and speaking it, you know, and meditating and getting it in our heart? You know, again, miracles are instantaneous, but healing is a process. You know, there's times where I've you know, just was standing for healing and just, you know, okay, Father, thank you that I'm healed, and all of a sudden the symptoms were gone. And the healing was there. It was because he was at work. Sometimes he'll tell you to change your, you know, what you eat, or he'll, like my gallbladder, he led me to a real simple, you know, natural remedy to flush it out, you know, and it worked. And not to eat certain foods, you know, and also, you know, stress, just different things. He'll show you how to walk in divine health. Again, all the time, and Father, you're my healer. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4:20-23. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We need to keep that word in our heart. Why? Because when the enemy comes, he's going to try to shake your faith. Well, you really think it's God's will, you're going to die. It's not God's will for you to heal. And you can say, you know, by his, what did Yeshua say when he was confronted by HaSatan in the wilderness? He quoted the Torah. It is written. It is written. It is written. That's what we need to say. It is written. Hallelujah. That, you know, that by his stripes I am healed. It is written. We can't, again, operate in fear. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee, hallelujah, with the right hand of my righteousness. Who is the right hand of his righteousness? Yeshua, hallelujah. Fear not. How many times you read the book of Joshua? How many times he'll tell Joshua, fear not, fear not. You know, go, what was the thing when he first sent the spies into the land? What happened? 10 came back full of fear. We can't do it, yep. You know. And Joshua and Caleb says, yes, we can, because God said so. Who ended up going into the promised land? The two that believed God and refused to fear. If God says we can do something, then we can do it. Again, our life is a life of faith and trust. When he says to go ahead and do it, everything in this ministry has been by faith. God says to do it. You don't think the enemy tried to come with fear? Well, I don't know. If you do this, you're going to fall flat on your face. And, you know, where's the money going to come from? And blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, you know what? You know, even when we signed the lease here, it's like, okay, Father, you know.
It's in your hands now.
And he's never, you know, he's never forsaken. Why? Because fear always wants you not to do what God wants you to do. But faith says, no, I believe his word. Why did Joshua and Caleb have a good report? Because they believed what God's word said. He says, we are well able to take the land because he said he already gave it to us. But there were still battles when they went through. Did they just walk in and say, okay, everybody move out? No, they had to take it. They had to battle. Okay, same thing. We have to battle, do spiritual warfare, which is in prayer, and hold our ground and speak forth the word. Isaiah 53:4-5, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, or shalom, was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Physically and spiritually. Why? Because he changed our life. He took that, you know, a life that was dead and going to hell. I remember and just changed it. Again, my prayer was, you know, I knew the word because my grandmother, I tell you, go to my grandmother's house. I mean, she, you know, you kept the Shabbat and she gave, you sat there and you read the word and you read the word, you know, and you prayed. You didn't come into that house without prayer. You didn't leave without prayer. You didn't go to bed without prayer, you know, and it was like when Shabbat came, that was it. TV, radio, everything off. We're getting in the word. You were going to worship God. But the word, even as a child, stuck with me, even though I went away from it for a season. It was still there because it still was convicting me whenever everything I was doing. Hallelujah. But when I called out to him with a truly repentant heart, because believe me, I had plenty of crocodile cheers. I would watch Billy Graham, woo, okay, you know, and I'd be right back doing what I was doing before. Why? Because there was no true repentance in my heart. But when there was true repentance in my heart, I just says, you know, Father, here's my life. If you can do something with it, it's all yours. And he changed me like that. Hallelujah. Because he can hear our heart cry. Whether you called on the name of Jesus or Yeshua. He knew who you were calling on. Do we think God's so stupid that he doesn't know who we're calling on? You know, it's like, give me a break. He saw our heart cry. You know, and when we called, yes, we know his name is Yeshua. But when I called on him, I called on Jesus because that's the only name that I knew. And he heard me. He knows our heart. Again, how, you know, we got to put God in our box. Well, you know, God, you don't, yeah, I know you don't understand English, so, you know, I better say Yeshua. You know, that's how dumb we think sometimes. God sees the heart cry. And then we start walking in the knowledge. We start, oh, okay, we start getting in the word and we learn. It's Yeshua. Hallelujah. His name is Yeshua. Isaiah 55, 9 to 11. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down from heaven, comes down and snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and makes it bring forth in bud, that it will give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish which what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That goes for every prophetic word, every prophecy, every promise. His word will not return void, even though, you know, he says that it tarries. How many people in Hebrews 11 were looking for a Messiah and they didn't see it in their lifetime? But they knew that he was going to come, and he did. It says they died without seeing the manifestation, but they died in faith, believing that it would come. Abraham never, you know, saw the, you know, he saw it in a vision. God showed him in a vision the fulfillment of all the prophecies and everything, but he didn't see it in his lifetime. He saw it by faith. He saw it based on what God said. Isaiah 58, 6 to 11. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and thou bring the poor that cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked to cover him, that thou not hide thyself from thine own flesh? What did Yeshua say when we stand before him? Wow, I was really impressed by, you know, you had thousands of people coming to your meeting. Man, you sold over 1 million books. You were a bestseller. Hey, you had a radio program. Wow, I'm impressed. What did he say? When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. Whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you have done to me. That's what Yeshua is impressed with. Hallelujah. But we're busy building up our own little kingdoms and making a name for ourselves. Instead of, again, we have all this knowledge. You know, God has brought us back to the Torah. Hallelujah. We're celebrating the feast. We're walking in the fullness. But now what are we doing? We're arguing over how to say God's name. We're arguing how to say Yeshua's name. You know, we're arguing over, you know, straining at gnats and swallowing camels. How many are we going out and doing what Yeshua said? That's what I want this ministry to do, this congregation. Father, show us. We want to walk out there, go lay hands on people and pray for them. Do you need prayer? Let me pray for you. Mm-hmm. You know, the result is in God's hands. Yeah. You know, we're just, Father, he says, believers lay hands on the sick and they'll recover in the name of Yeshua. Yes. Amen. Mm-hmm. But as long as we stay in these four walls, we're not going to affect the world. Mm-hmm. So we're praying. We're really believing God. God, how can we? We brought the conferences in, okay? But even with the conferences, are we seeing people, you know, healed? Are we seeing people, some of them, because we started, you know, praying for people, but are we seeing people saved? again, it's the conferences that are train up people, but for what purpose? To go out there and to win the loss. There are 8 million people in the Chicagoland area. You know, there's people that are leaving the churches every day. Why? Because they've lost faith in the power of God. God has brought it, again, we are here for such a time as this. He hasn't brought us back to the Torah so we can impress people with how much Hebrew we know. He has brought us up because he's raising up a generation that are going to truly walk in the footsteps of Yeshua, truly walk in obedience in his word, and see lives changed. Go to the ones, again, we're seeing children killed left and right every single day. You know, I remember when we used to, you know, I was in street and prison ministry for 5 years, and you know what? It was probably one of the best times of my life. We're going to work on getting, imagine if we bring the Torah to the prisons, the Torah and Yeshua. Hallelujah, and the fullness of the Spirit. I was in prison ministry. You know, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Hallelujah, we've got the wisdom. That's why we need the gifts of the Spirit. We need the discerning, because believe me, I was in the prisons, and I know those guys can be pretty convincing. You know, they can try to, you know, finagle you, and you better know what the Spirit is saying. But they need to be set free too. You know, Islam is very busy recruiting in the prisons. And we're not doing anything. How much more should we be doing that? Going out in the streets, we used to go downtown where the prostitutes were. Male and female prostitutes. And just share the love of the Messiah. Maybe we didn't see results right then and there. You know, Paul says some plant the seed, some water, some reap the harvest. You know how many people planted in my life before I find that they didn't even see any results? They probably thought, wow, that was a waste of time for this person. But they were planting seeds. There's power in the name of Yeshua. Never underestimate his power. He says we are to go out and lay hands on the sick. We are to go out and see people delivered. You have authority over the enemy in Yeshua's name. We need to be going into the hospitals, the nursing homes. You know, people that are told they've been deserted by their families. That they don't have anybody to love them. They just throw them in the nursing home and that's it. They forget about them. You know, share the love of Messiah with them. Again, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of just, you know, teaching and not seeing the results. Again, what's our example? The first century, Kahila. They turned their world upside down. And let me tell you something. The government they were under was a lot worse than this one. They were under Nero and Caligula, bloodthirsty. They had lions. They were thrown to the lions. They were burnt at the stake. And it didn't stop them from preaching the gospel. You know, and here, you know, we have what freedom we have. We better use it. But you know what? What makes us think that we're so much better than they were? It says they preached the word and 3,000 were saved in one day. We need to work together, hallelujah, to go out there. And Father, you give us wisdom. He'll give us creative ideas. Yep. He'll show us what to do. But we better go in faith and not fear. Okay? And in the wisdom, he'll show us where to go. Okay? And again, there's neighborhoods all over the place we can go. Hallelujah. We got gifts and talents here. To, again, people are hungry to know the real, true God. There's plenty of religions out there, but God is looking for relationship. People need to know that God wants to have a relationship with you. Hallelujah. Verse 8, then, okay, after this, again, about fasting, then their light shall break forth as the morning, and their health shall spring forth speedily, and their righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord, the kavod, shall be thy rear reward, hallelujah, rear guard. Thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou wilt take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. And if thou wilt draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul and draught and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring water whose waters fail not. Jeremiah 30:17, for I will restore health unto thee and I will heal thee out of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion whom no man seeketh after. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord and I change not. Hallelujah. Thank Yahweh for that. That he changes not. That he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't say a thing one minute and say, well, I changed my mind. Malachi 4:2-3, but unto you that fear my name, that fears, they have a holy fear on respect of who God is, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, and the day I shall do it, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Matthew 7:7-11, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread will give him a stone, or if he asks a fish will give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask? Hallelujah. Matthew 8:16-17, when the even was come, they brought him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Hallelujah. Matthew 9:35, and Yeshua went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among his people. Matthew 15:30-31, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Yeshua's feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Hallelujah. Mark 11:22-24, Yeshua answered and said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. But he also goes on to say that if you have unforgiveness against your brother, you better repent. Okay, a lot of times we like to stop there, you know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Again, Yeshua. I'm just going to go through these really quickly, about 10 minutes. Matthew 8:13, Yeshua said to the officer, go, let it be as you have trusted. And his orderly was healed at that very moment. Who was this? It was a Roman soldier who knew authority. He says, I know authority when I see it. He says, I'm a centurion. You're talking about one of the roughest, toughest, meanest, you know, people around were these Roman soldiers, especially a centurion. Centurion means they were leader over thousands, okay? But he saw the authority in Yeshua. He says, I know authority. When I tell somebody to go do this, they go do that. Why? Because they know my authority. Okay, he says, all you have to do is speak the word and my servant will be healed. And this is a Gentile. This isn't even somebody that was, you know, part of the covenant, you know. But he saw, and Yeshua says, be it done unto you. You know, he said, and he was amazed at his faith. And his servant was healed right that time. Why? Because he recognized the authority. Matthew 9:22, Yeshua turned and saw her and says, courage, daughter, your faith, your trust has healed you. And she was healed instantly. What was this? The woman with the issue of blood. Okay? Again, under Torah, if you had an issue of blood, you were considered unclean and you could not be around other people. And she suffered with this for years and years and years. But finally, she says, you know what? You know, I believe this is what she said. It doesn't say much. I've got a covenant with God. And I'm going to go take hold of that covenant. She pushed through the crowds, and I tell you, it was like she wasn't going to let anybody stop her. And she grabbed hold of the tzitzit, representing the Torah, the promises. And he said virtue came out of him. Why? Because her faith, he was drawing on her. And he said, be it done to you. Your trust has healed you. Matthew 12:22, then some people brought him a man controlled by demons who was blind and mute, and Yeshua healed him so that he could speak and see. Matthew 15:28, then Yeshua answered to her, "Lady, you are a person of great trust. Let your desire be granted." And her daughter was healed that very moment. Matthew 17:18, Yeshua rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy, so that from that moment he was healed. Hallelujah. The word says that our fight isn't against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers. There's a lot of people out there that are demonically oppressed. Hallelujah. But once they come to Yeshua, you know, we have the authority to cast out those demons and bring them, you know, again to Messiah. Why? Because he gave us the authority to do it. Luke 4:40, after sunset, all those who had people sick with various diseases brought them to Yeshua, and he put hands on each of them and healed them. Again, Luke 13:14, but the president of the synagogue, indignant that Yeshua had healed on the Shabbat, spoke up and said to the congregation, "There are 6 days in the week for working, so come during those days to be healed, not on Shabbat." And what did Yeshua just rebuked him? He says, you know, it's lawful to do good on Shabbat. Because healing was part of the covenant. Hallelujah. Acts 4:10. Again, the apostles. Again, healings. Let's go to Acts 4. I'm going to read it in context here. It should get us mad when we see the enemy ripping off people. Hallelujah. Let's begin with verse 1. As Peter and John, just going to sit down a second. Hallelujah. As Peter and John were speaking to the people, the Kohanim and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came up to them. They were indignant because Peter and John were teaching the people and announcing in Yeshua the resurrection of the dead. So they grabbed them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. Wow. 5,000 people coming to the knowledge of Messiah. On the next day, the rulers and elders and Torah scholars were gathered together in Jerusalem. Annas the Kohen Gadol was there, and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander, and all those who were of high priestly descent. When they had placed Peter and John in their midst, they began to inquire, "By what power or in what name do you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a mitzvah done for a sick man, as to know how this fellow was healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Yeshua HaMashiach HaNazarati, the Yeshua the Messiah of Nazareth, whom you had crucified, whom God raised from the dead, this one stands before you whole. This Yeshua is the stone rejected by you, the builders, that has become the chief cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and figured out that they were laymen without training, they were amazed. They began to realize that these men had been with Yeshua, but seeing the healed man standing with them, they had nothing to say in response. When they had ordered Peter and John to go out of the council chamber, they began to confer with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For indeed it's obvious to everyone living in Jerusalem that a remarkable miracle has happened through them, and we cannot deny it. So it won't spread any further among the people. Let's warn them not to speak any more to anyone in this name." So they called them in and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Yeshua. But Peter and John replied, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you decide. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." After threatening them again, they let them go, finding no way they could punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. For the man in whom this miracle of healing had happened was more than 40 years old. Hallelujah. So even when their enemies tried to accuse him, the proof of the healing, they had nothing to say. It was like, you know what? there's no argument here. And they boldly, with boldness. What was that boldness from? Go back. They were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. the power. We need the power of Yahweh in our life. We need the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. You know, and I tell you, when the power of God comes on you, you feel it. I mean, you just, His power, His anointing comes on you. When people first prayed, you know, for me, because I tell you, our life's a journey. You know, when I first came to the Lord, you know, here's my journey. I went to a Baptist church. I said, well, I know the Baptists believe in salvation, so I'll go to a Baptist church, okay? So I was going to the Baptist church, and in my spirit, you know, there's more. So I was like, okay, so I'm thinking, well, what could be more? So I ended up in a Pentecostal church, you know, and I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when they first prayed for me, did I speak in tongues right away? No, because they were distracting me. You know, I mean, when they prayed for me, the power of God was on me, but everybody's speaking at me at the same time. But I tell you, the power of God filled me. I was like shaken, you know. And they said, we didn't speak in tongues. I said, oh, you know, I knew the power of God. Again, they were distracting me. They're saying, do this, do that. And I'm like, you know, I just wanted to bask in His power. So when I was home alone, I was by myself. I was just, you know, and just quiet before Him, it just started flowing. Why? Because it was coming from my heart.
Right.
And I didn't have all these distractions,
right.
You know, and I just got before Him, and I says, Father, I just receive. I know I received. When I asked for Your Spirit, You gave it to me. I received it. Maybe I didn't speak and have the manifestation of tongues right away, but I knew I felt the power of God come in me. And I was just home all by myself. All of a sudden, I just started praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah, and I felt His peace. You know, from there I knew, you know, again, it was a journey. I went and, you know, back then there wasn't very many Messianic, I don't even know if there was any Messianic congregations in Chicago that I knew of, you know. And so we ended up in, moved and ended up in another church. But as I was there, I learned about healing, I learned about salvation, all scriptural. I learned about the power of the world. I wanted it all. I said, you know, God, whatever You have for me, I want it. I learned how to walk by faith. Yeah, there's a lot of goofy things maybe in some of these faith churches, but you know what? I learned faith by what the Word said. It says,
right.
Yeah, this is true. This is the Word. I don't care how goofy, you know, some of the goofiness they were in. It's like, this is the Word. This is true. I learned how to trust God and walk in faith and step out in faith and hear His voice. Again, it's a journey, okay? Then 15 years ago, you know, I was teaching a class on the book of Revelation, and all of a sudden, you know, there's a blessing. It says that those who, you know, who read the words of this book will be blessed. So I says, you know, Father, I just received that blessing. And all of a sudden, He started stirring in my heart about my roots. And I was just like, you know what? I don't know anything about my Jew. I don't know anything about my Jewish roots, you know. And the Jesus that they were teaching, you know, didn't line up with, you know, sometimes the one in the Bible. You know, well, He was Jewish. So He just led me by His Spirit, okay, learning about, you know, hey, God didn't do away with the Torah. Hey, we're supposed to keep the feast. Why? It bore witness in my spirit. Nobody knocked on my door, okay? Again, being led by the Spirit from day one, it's been a journey. I've been, you know, almost probably 40 years now serving Him. It's been a journey. Hallelujah. And He brought me to this. And again, you know, I had to fight, you know, some of the wrong teachings. It's like, you know, you're going under the law. You're going to lose your salvation, blah, blah, blah. You know, but I start reading the Word, and it's just like, my spirit was like, yeah, this is right. So there was a battle between my mind and my spirit. And finally, you know, but the Bible says we're supposed to keep the Shabbat. I know that. I was brought up keeping the Shabbat. You know, so the first thing I knew to do was to keep the Shabbat. You know, and again, it was from there. It was just, again, we are led by the Spirit every step of the way. Hallelujah. And again, the reason why a lot of people don't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit is because of fear. Because of wrong teaching. A lot of people in the church don't receive the Torah. Same reason. It's fear. You know, so what do? We need to pray against that fear and say, Father, open their eyes to the truth and show them what the Word says. Hallelujah. Same thing with healing. Same thing for everything. Hallelujah, that God has called us to do. I don't want to, you know, I want to do everything that God's called me to do. I don't want to stand before Him and have Him say, well, I told you to do this, and you gave me 1,001 excuses why you couldn't. You know, I want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did what I told you to do. Yeah, it wasn't easy. It was hard, maybe heartbreaking sometimes along the way. But you know what? It's for his kingdom and it's for his glory. That's what counts. Not that anybody, I care less if anybody knows who I am. You know, what good is it? You know, because I tell you one thing. People are very fickle. One day you'll be the most popular teacher out there. And the next day they'll hate your guts.
Yeah.
You just say one thing that doesn't agree with them and you're like, you know, you're the enemy. You know, same thing. You know what? We need to please God. And not be men pleasers. And I need to remember, even every time I stand up here, because sometimes God may give me something that's very hard to say. And my flesh was like, I don't want to say it, they're going to get offended. You know, and God says, you better say what I'm going to say. Hallelujah. You know, people have said things to me that maybe, you know, offended me at first, but when I kind of like got the emotions out of the way and the anger, it was like, you know what, they were right.
Yeah.
When I finally said they were right, and I had to repent and humble myself. Hallelujah. So let's not be people who are easily offended. Let's be people who are walking in the footsteps of Messiah and are seeing this city change. And I just want to end with this. I was, I posted something, you know, on Facebook, on my page, just saying that, you know, those in Chicago, we know Chicago is called the Windy City. It's an idiom. Well, if you're not from Chicago, you know, you don't have a Windy City, I don't know what you're talking about. So I just made a comment that, well, wind in Hebrew is ruach, because ruach can be spirit, wind, breath. Okay, so I was referring to wind as ruach, and that, you know, saying that we're proclaiming that, that Chicago is no longer the murder capital of the world, but is a place where the ruach, like a mighty wind, is going to flow. Hallelujah. You know, and then somebody came back to me, and said, I guess this is what, people don't read what you're saying, they like read into it. And he said, Ruach means this and that, and you can't call Chicago Ruach. I didn't say so. I said, I didn't say Chicago is Ruach. I said, wind is Ruach. He's not from Chicago. He goes, Chicago's called the Windy City. He goes, well, that place, that's Sodom and Gomorrah. He goes, you can't no more turn pork into chicken than you can saying that your Chicago is the city of the spirit of Yahweh. And I said, let me tell you something, brother. I says, no, you can't turn pork into chicken. You can't change it, but people can change. You know, pork is pork, a pig's a pig, but you know what? People can change. Hallelujah. Maybe everybody won't change in the city, but you know what? I was one of those people that from Sodom and Gomorrah that was walking down the streets, that somebody had the nerve to come up to me and preach Yeshua to me, and I wasn't very nice to them. But everything they said was hitting my heart like an arrow. But I didn't want to admit it, because you know what? I had to keep my, you know, my tough side, you know. Help me, I'm streetwise, you know, but it was hitting my heart, you know. My friend was like, you know, man, I think God's after you, because everywhere we go, somebody's coming up to you. But again, they came to me on the street. Yeah, I was lost. Yeah, this is a city full of sin. Why? Because maybe we as believers have sat back and not done anything about it, have not gone out there and preached the truth that we know is to be a truth. We just want to have a, you know, we'll just, you know, sequester ourselves in our little group and let God bless us. Thank God for people that have the guts to come up to me on the street. Thank God for his protection. Thank God that he filled me with his spirit and gave me a boldness to go out there and do things that, you know, when I was in the prison ministry, nobody in the church wanted to go with me. I just went by myself because I had the conviction to go and work with the, you know, the chaplains there. Hallelujah. And I don't know, you know, maybe I didn't see any results. Only eternity is going to show the results. You don't know. We're just continually go out there. And God's going to give us creative ways, hallelujah, to lay hands on the sick and believe that God, you know, people are hungry. You know God loves you. He wants to heal you. Who did Yeshua go to? The castaways, the ones that nobody wanted to be with. Why? He says the healthy don't need a physician, it's the sick. The spiritually sick, and that's what we're supposed to do. Yeah, our time is short. And I thank God Bishop Dominique came here, because you know she restirred up some things in me that, you know, I had kind of laid aside. You know, and I just like, and I had to repent, and I said, no, Father, I want everything you have for me. I want the Torah and Yeshua and the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. And we want to see this place change lives for Yeshua. We want to go out there and God give us creative ideas on what we can do. Hallelujah. Maybe we may not see results in front of our eyes, but you know what? Maybe we just may be planting seeds and maybe somebody will bring up somebody who's ripe to get harvested. Hallelujah. And then what we need to disciple them.
Okay, we need to ground them in the Word, you know, not just, you know, bring them to the Lord and just leave them there. You know, we need to try to encourage them to get into the Word. We need to, again, pray for the sick. You know, nothing gets me madder than when a believer, you know, gets sick, when the enemy attempts, you know, destroys believers with sickness. It gets me angry, and I just says, Father, I just cry. I look at, you know, pictures of showing, you know, these children, you know, with cancer. I don't know about you, but, you know, I would just love to go in there and just start laying hands on all those kids in Yeshua's name and see them heal. That's not God's will. That is not God's will. If it wasn't God's will, Yeshua would not have healed anybody. He would not have cast out any demons. He was walking in covenant authority. He was walking in, again, this is in Torah. You go back to Torah. Healing is part of the belong to Israel and all those who are grafted in Messiah. You know, but nobody says it's not going to be a battle. You know, it's like our says, you know, we are, and like I told you before, and what Bishop Dominic said too, we are in spiritual warfare. You know, when you got saved, you weren't sent on a sunny vacation to Hawaii. You entered the battlefield. You know, our vacation's coming, hallelujah. You know, we're going to have an eternity of vacation, but you know what? We've entered the army, hallelujah, of Yahweh, to see people, to defeat the enemy, hallelujah, in the name of Yeshua. Alvina Mocano, our Father, our King. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that you, Father, would refill us to overflowing with your power, with your boldness, Father. Father, I come against every spirit of fear and lie of the enemy that has tried to hinder us from going forward in Yeshua's name. Father, we ask you for favor, Father, that you show us, Father, how to reach those, Father, out there in the streets for Yeshua, to see people saved, delivered, set free. Father, bring a revival, a restoration with our young people, Father. Father, with those kids in street gangs, Father. Father, bring them to Messiah, Father. We pray and intercede for them, Father. Father, for all that this generation, Father, that if you should tarry, Father, that needs to know you as Messiah, that needs to know the power of God. Father, use us like you used David Wilkerson, Father. Father, who boldly went to one of the toughest street gangs in the world, Father, a country bumpkin, so to speak, Father, and changed thousands upon thousands of drug addicts and gangs people's lives, Father, because of his love. We need more men and women like that, Father. We need more Corrie Ten Booms, Father. We need more David Wilkersons. We need more people that'll boldly, Father, go and do what you have called us to do. We're through with playing games, Father. Father, we're through with just filling ourselves with head knowledge and not seeing lives change, not seeing people healed and delivered, Father. Hineni, Father, as your prophet cried out, you said, who will I send? And he said, Hineni, send me, Father. Father, that we would lay down our lives, Father, that we would not love our lives so much, Father, and that we'd lay it down, Father, and change, Father. This is a vineyard you planted us in, Father. Father, help us to reach. We may not reach everybody. Hallelujah. But we know the city can be changed by the power of your Ruach, Father. Nineveh was changed, a wicked, evil city, just by hearing the word preached, Father. Even though Jonah didn't want to go there, Father, you sent, you convinced him, Father, in a very unusual way by getting him swallowed by a whale that he better do it. Hallelujah. And those people were changed, Father. Father, bring us, Father, people that are hungry for you, Father. Again, give us that holy boldness, Father. Father, we want everything that you have for us, Father. Everything, Father. Father, you said the believer shall lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. We shall cast out demons, Father. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you, Father, that you want this in this time, Father. Increase the anointing in our life. Increase the hunger for you, Father. And Father, we just thank you, Father. Father, we just lift our hands and we just stand before you, Father. Father, use us, Father. Use this congregation. Use this ministry, Father, to affect lives, Father, not to make a name for ourselves, Father, not to impress people by what we know, but to see people truly change and transform and become disciples, Talmudim of Yeshua, so they can go forth and bring transformation, Father. Oh, hallelujah, Father, I thank you that this congregation, Father, is not going to put you in a box, Father. This congregation, Father, is not going to have a bad report, Father, But Father, you said we are well able to take the land. We are well able, Father, to go into Chicago, Father. And you said every place our foot shall tread shall be given unto us, Father. If we don't go, it won't be given, Father. Father, I just thank you, Father, that you are using this place to train people, Father. That, Father, people's lives will be changed, and only eternity, Father, will show that, Father. But, Father, we praise you and thank you, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for this Shabbat. Thank you, Father, that you brought us to the fullness of who we are, a Messiah. You brought us, Father, back to our roots, Father, back to the place of walking in true holiness and worshiping of you, Father. Father, we just praise you and thank you for it. In Yeshua's name,